community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM. Rich and Poor provides universal inclusive beauty products that solve your skin problems with just one use, and proudly sponsors the new Owl Hour business show, hosted by Sophie Newbold on Phoenix FM.
And hello, and welcome to the second edition of the Owl Hour. I'm your host, Sophie Newbold, and in today's show, we'll be continuing our conversation with Simon Hawkins from Size Tech Photo Studios, a startup company in Kent, and Teresa Kennedy from Rich and Poor, as well as our regular top tips from freelance growth strategist Ollie Bramford. But first, we'll be talking to Charles Biss, a founding director of the Islington-based architecture practice BB Partnership Limited.
So Charlie, you're telling us a lot about, you know, that kind of the journey from becoming an architect and practicing as an architect to actually then starting a business and then actually winning clients and starting to sort of make money and take on those additional roles and responsibilities. And, you know, we all know that's a bit of a steep learning curve for most people, as because you haven't run a business before. And I don't know how much a course can actually help anyone to do it once you're actually on that roller coaster. But what do you think was driving you to keep going? You know, why did you didn't quit, you kept going. What would you say was, you know, combining your passion for architecture with sort of running and growing your own business? How would you describe that? And what was success for you?
It probably goes back to when in my first year at college, I realized that I wanted to be an architect. And that was quite an important moment, because up till then I enjoyed everything from history to maths to English to cricket to everything, but I hadn't quite worked out that, and I knew I wanted to put a bit of everything into it. And so the big moment was when, after the first year, I realized, actually, I can do this, I want to do it, and I want it to be as good as it can be. So that passion then spent another 6.5 years refining itself in college, because it's an unusually long course. And then, obviously, the first thing that happens, the day I qualified, I got a job, and my first job was to design some public toilets. So, you know, you get a crash down to the bottom again, and you then have to learn about actually building. And realistically, if you qualify and you're proud of that qualification and you have gained an enormous amount of passion for that subject, it will sustain you through almost anything. You cannot possibly shake it off. You could look at photographs I took before I qualified and photographs I took after, and before they had people in it, after it just has buildings in it. You know, it's a takeover of your whole spirit, your whole character, if that's how you want to do it. And so when you get into real business, the one thing that was conspicuously absent from university life was learning and teaching us how to run a business. So we had to do that all on our own. And that was probably the steepest learning curve of all, you know, picking up, setting out, well, just working out how to run a business and copying from the practices that we worked before and improving it and finessing it. And even today, you know, our fee letters are different from they were from when they were last year. And we're, you know, as they say, every day is a school day. Every minute you learn about it. And when someone asks me what my best building is, I probably always say it's the next one, because there's still that interest and desire to do it. And gradually, as you get older, you get less patient and less energetic, but actually your experience is getting bigger and bigger. And you know, there is a school of thought that says that I shouldn't be retiring soon, because I'm at my peak and my next building will be a good one. And actually, my dad's a doctor, and he's 97 now, and he is still a doctor. I think if I'm lucky enough to get to that age, I will always be an architect. Whether or not I'm a practicing one, it's just in my spirit, in my heart now. And I know that. So The fact that I'm leaving BB Partnership doesn't mean that I stop being an architect. It means that I reverse away from running the business, all that grindy old hard stuff, and trying to make money and pay people. That leaves me, and I'm left with all that experience and still my passion to design buildings. And that's really where I'm at the moment. And I'm very excited by that.
Well, Charlie, that is a lovely way for us to finish up today on that feeling of what you have walked away, sort of exiting a business that you've built up over 25 years. Is that correct? Something like that.
Relationships are 40 years. So.
The relationships, 40 years. I mean, that's
they will remain. Our friendship will remain forever. You know, that's fine.
Yeah, no, that's for me is what good business is all about. And so when you move into your next phase, as you're sort of going through this transition, we'll find out more about your story, because I want to know more about what has driven you. You know, architecture's one thing, but there's the desire to be bigger, you know, than just doing the job, and then that journey into retirement. So, Charlie, we'll speak to you in the next show, if that's okay.
Fine with me.
Excellent. So,
and actually, the final point about this whole thing is the handing on the legacy. You know, I am so keen to share what I have with the next generation. I spend a lot of time going back to my old school, talking to A-level students, university students, having them in their office and teaching them what I remember being taught myself. And it's just a circle of life.
Absolutely. Lots of fun. Yeah, and we want to find out all about this in our next show. So we'll see you there, Charlie. And it's a pleasure to have you on today. Thank you.
So that was Charlie Biss from BB Partnership. And we'll be continuing the interview in the next edition of the Owl Hour. But now it's time for freelance growth strategist, Ollie Bramford, with his regular business tips.
Ah, so we've come to that point of the show where we turn our heads to France. How are you, Ollie?
Very good, thanks, Sophie.
Good. How are the slopes?
Yeah, quite green at the moment.
Sure, yeah, I forgot about that. Good. So you've got a tip for us and our listeners today on how to grow your business online?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So guys, today my tip is to follow the bullseye method. This is golden for how to grow your business. There's loads of marketing channels available to any business. And this is a method to work out kind of how to prioritize those. So to start with, brainstorm how you could maybe get great results from loads of different channels, even ones that you hadn't usually thought of. Then shortlist the ideas that seem like the most likely to succeed. Then do really small scale tests, ideally quick and cheap, to see if those channels actually do work for you. And then, having done your handful of tests, really focus in on and prioritize your marketing budget and activity on the channel or two or three kind of key channels that are really really delivering the best results for you. And this is outlined really well in a great book called Traction.
And where can people get that book, Ollie?
Amazon, and in your show notes.
Excellent. Oh, that's a brilliant tip. Thanks, Ollie. So exploring all the different avenues on which to sort of market and reach people to bring awareness of the brand, awareness of what one does, and work out what works best to sell the brand and the products or services. Is that right?
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much.
That's brilliant.
Anything from PR to SEO to partnerships, you know, there's loads of channels that most people don't think about. And this method really kind of forces you to go there and think outside the box.
Okay. And SEO is?
Search engine optimization.
Brilliant. So if you don't know what that is, Google search engine optimization. Brilliant. Okay, thanks, Ollie, and we'll see you on the next show.
Thanks, Sophie.
Rich and Poor provides universal inclusive beauty products that solve your skin problems with just one use, and proudly sponsors the new Owl Hour business show, hosted by Sophie Newbold on Phoenix FM.
And there'll be more from Ollie in the next show. And now we continue our conversation with Simon Hawkins from startup company Size Tech Photo Studios.
So we've got Size Tech Photo Studios, a startup based in Kent. We've got Simon and Nathan here today. Hi, Simon. Hi Nathan. Hi. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right,
yeah. Yeah, good, thanks.
Very well. And it's lovely to have you both here. So Simon, you've set up Size Tech, and Nathan, you're supporting Size Tech. Do you just want to introduce each other?
I'm Simon Hawkins.
I'm Nathan Lee.
We're best friends from 4 years.
Oh, brilliant. And what's your sort of relationship now in terms of business?
Yeah, it's really good. We're both learning from each other.
But you're the founder, Simon, aren't you?
I'm the founder, yeah. It's named after me, yes.
Cool. And Nathan?
He's the brains from the internet side of telling me what I can and what I can't get, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, so it's that point of the show where we re-meet the business owner that we met last time. So this week we're meeting again Simon from SciTech Photo Studios. How are you doing, Simon?
Good. Hello.
How's it been going?
Yeah, you know, it's good. It's starting to the interesting point now, where I'm getting to the point where things are gonna start happening in the next few months.
Great. And when you say happening, what does that mean? Conversations?
Conversations with companies, conversations about, you know, the products that I want to sell, the conversations with different businesses to obtain that stock, find all your stock and whatever, building professional and, you know, some personal relationships. And yeah, just going forward in general.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's really good news. That is going in the right direction. So last time we heard a lot about, you know, you starting up, your you know, the customers you serve and what your ambitions are in terms of, you know, growth and where you can see yourself selling. And we spoke about those people who have got pressure to buy technology that might not necessarily be able to afford it. So, you know, trying to meet a market that way. This time, I'm interested to know really what drove you to set up your own business, because it's not a light-hearted decision. And maybe some people, you know, think it might be easy to set up and fold a company, but really, if you're really going for success, it's a commitment. It's a part of your life. Do you want to just tell me what drove you to do this, and you know, what's hard about it? What's the challenge around it?
There's two main reasons, really. I touched on it before, where, you know, it was one of my good friends has his own business, and he's been advising me a lot on what's what, where to go, where to obtain, like, companies, house registrations, things like that. Accountants, which way to appoint, in what direction, things like that. And I appreciate that. But obviously the main big reason was it was something that me and one of my ex-girlfriends spoke about. And it was always a vision of ours to set our own business. And
what's the own business thing?
The business goal was, she was a single parent. And basically I came up with the idea that they could be financially secure and sorted by me providing this kind of service that I'm talking today.
Wow. Okay. So your driver was to basically the purpose of protecting, in a way, your family.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm very much a family man.
So what drove you to start your own business rather than get a job?
Well, I just think with jobs, it's a lot. It's a lengthy process, in one way or the other.
What, to find one?
To find one, to be able to find the right one, to know the right people in what jobs, to get you through the door, to speak to the right directors or whatever they may be. But I think that's the easy bit. The hard bit is even the easy bit is filling out the online application. It's actually proving to people you're worth employing. Some people, you know, these youths, I say in a range of 16 upwards, you know, ex trouble with the law or, you know, in juvenile prison, things like that, you know, I feel everyone deserves a chance. You know, no matter what you are or who you are, you know, society shouldn't judge you for your choices in the past.
And I say, hear, hear to that, Simon. That sounds very inclusive to me and diverse. Yeah. And so that sounds highly vocational. Do you think there's a lot of young people in your, because you're probably quite a bit younger than me. Do you think there's a lot of people in your, from your sort of generation, maybe a bit older, a bit younger, that have had that kind of conflict with the law?
Yeah, definitely. I've had it myself, in terms of, you know, not so much conflict with the law that's I'm a general troubled person. It's more in the wrong crowd. You try and be, when you want to be accepted in a certain form, in a certain group, then you act like they act, even though you're trying to act like you don't normally act.
Understood. But that's kind of part of growing up, isn't it?
Exactly. I think, yeah, it's a very much a big part of growing up, because I feel that I've been in the situation myself where, you know, I've been hugely supported in any way, shape or form, financially, every way you support your own kids or whatever. I have been supported till very early on. I was only, my mum and dad pulled away roughly about 3-4 years ago in terms of how much they were getting involved because of that reason. And, you know...
Sorry, that reason is the...
Is the reason that I got into the wrong crowd and into the... It wasn't because of my mum and dad.
No.
They pulled away a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they could see that I was making the wrong choices in life. And
okay.
And they've gone down the same road.
But your life is your life, exactly. And their life is their life, yeah.
Exactly. You know, your parent, as a parent, you know, I had a short stint at it, as I said before, with my ex-girlfriend, but, you know, you can only do your best. You know, you can only say, you know, that person over there don't look all right. He's, you know, he acts in this way or that way, and this is the way you've got to watch or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's not your choice. You can only be there to, you know, be there to open the door again and, you know, broom up and sweep up the stuff afterwards.
That sounds like a whole new different show, which unfortunately we haven't got time to go through today, but that's really interesting. And I did some youth work, so I do sympathise with kids in trouble and stuff. But what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, so in terms of... If you become that really, really successful businessman that I'm sure you've got the dream planted, what would you say is your vision there, Simon, in terms of the dream?
In terms of the dream will be to, you know, carry on to retirement and hand it on to the kids I had, or short stint of kids I had through my ex. But the big dream other than that would be to change the discrimination in the especially in the UK, of how people and employers look at people, especially with mental health, as I said, that have been in juvie or might have even just come out of adult prison, things like that. I think, you know, everybody in this country or in the world has the right for a second chance.
And a third chance?
It depends. I think, you know, it does depend. But, you know, anyone can sympathise with us as kids all of us making the wrong choice at some point.
Thank you, Simon. There'll be more from this interview in the next show. And now we come to more reflections from our show's sponsor, Teresa Kennedy, founder of new startup beauty company, Rich and Poor.
So now we come to the serene part of the show where we can just relax, close our eyes, not if you're driving, and listen to the wise words of the show's sponsor, Teresa Kennedy from Rich and Poor. Hi, Teresa. How are you doing?
Hi, Sophie. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Really good. Really enjoying, working with Phoenix and meeting brilliant sort of business people and getting to the heart of, you know, all the problems and things that people are facing at the moment, and working together is just such a privilege. How's the Rich and Poor going?
Yes, it's going quite well. It's it's challenging this time where we are at the moment, but you know, that's it. These quotes, as you say, make you relax and reflect.
Absolutely, and that's really important. I will just look at the quotes from the person. It could be a famous person, it could be an anonymous person, it could just be a ordinary person with some wisdom, and then Teresa, you'll fill in the context behind the thought of the promise.
Sure.
Thank you. So, we only do well the things we like doing. And that was a lady called Colette who came up with that. And Teresa, I'll lead you to bring us into some context of thought there.
I agree with Colette. When you were a child, did you feel you had to do everything you were told to do? If you didn't perform all tasks equally well, did you feel that something was wrong with you? When we were young, many of us were never told that we were doing as well as we could. Or if we were told, we didn't know how to hear it. It has taken some of us years to learn that to do something well often means to do it as well as we can. And somewhere inside us, those children still groan over tasks they can't do easily. It helps to remember that we are not alone. Something we find difficult to do may have all sorts of repercussions for us and for others. We can always ask for help. Other people are pleased when we ask them to share their skills. When we know how to console the child within, we need never feel inadequate. I'm working toward the day when I can truthfully say I like everything I do because I do everything as well as I can.
Wow. That was lovely. Thank you so much. And I think as I was listening to the words you were reading out, Teresa, it's really asking for help, isn't it? And having that humility, you know, it doesn't matter how important we are or we think we are, you know, we can't do everything. We're not God. And to suddenly realise that we can ask for help, and actually sharing skills to help others motivates us, but to actually ask help for ourselves is not so easy, is it?
Absolutely not. And I think it reflects that the first reading refers very well in that it's not just what we hear, it's listening to what we hear.
Oh, wow, Teresa, thank you so much. That was just such a lovely reflection on, you know, how important it is to be true to oneself and, you know, realise when, you know, humility is such a good quality because you can reflect and know when you need help. I think it's so easy for people who, you know, working so hard in their business, you know, owning the business, it's very easy to just think, I can't ask for help, or don't even notice you need help. And taking that moment, that step back to think, wow, if I could just get someone with those skills or find out about that question, or, you know, and then ask those questions for help, it just makes a complete difference, transformation to your world of working. What do you think, Teresa?
Absolutely. And I just think it's a true reflection of remembering that we are not alone, and everyone, even, you know, the top businessmen and women of the world, and all need help, mentors and guidance.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, there's plenty of people, and I've had it myself, where I've gone on, and you just realise actually, you know, your health can actually take over now because you haven't given yourself the break of getting support or stopping when you need to. And then it takes a toll on, or it could take a toll on your physical health, your mental health. So, you know, everyone just remember, you know, you're not alone. You are just a human being, no matter how important you are or how important you think you are, and seek help and share what's going on and find out, you know, what is your truth? You know, what can you do today? Really reflecting on you as a person, not who you think you are or who you think you should be, who you are genuinely. So Teresa, thank you so much for your time. You know, you volunteer as sponsor and to do this, and wish you every bit of luck and support in seeing Rich and Poor succeed. And we'll hear from you hopefully next show.
I look forward to that. Thank you very much, Sophie.
And you can hear more from Teresa in the next show. And that's it for this week's edition. But keep an ear out on Phoenix FM and phoenixfm.com for the next edition of the Owl Hour very soon.
Rich and Poor provides universal inclusive beauty products that solve your skin problems with just one use, and proudly sponsors the new Owl Hour business show, hosted by Sophie Newbold on Phoenix FM.